This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Final hour of Wyman and Bob live from T-Mobile Park. We're at Edgar's Cantina. People filing in, getting ready to see Game 2 of the Mariners series with the Oakland A's. Hopefully they'll see a different version of this team other than the one we saw last night. Stellar performance out of Yusei Kikuchi tonight would be great. Some offense, scoring more than one run, would be even more fun. So hopefully that's a bit of what we're seeing and some of what we touched on. By the way, we will have Mean Text coming up at 5:45. So
I blame Dave. Because there's
blame
been like 15 now that have come in. We could do about 15 minutes just on the mean text about me.
You want to make the whole segment about you?
I don't, but Dave made it about
when
me.
When you say blame, I think you mean credit.
Yeah.
Credit, man.
You know. You understood. Right. I used to like this segment because it wasn't about me. And now it's twisted.
I'm
it's turned back around.
I think he secretly likes it about him.
I'm distracted by this beer and huge pile of macaroni and cheese that I'm looking at just off
is that
right shoulder.
Macaroni? That looks like nachos.
Oh, is it nachos?
Yeah, it's nachos. There is a lot of cheese there, though. So, yeah, there's a lot of good things happening here.
A lot of good
things happening out here at Edgar's Cantina. By the way, go see Tim. He's the master of the margarita here at Edgar's Cantina. So make sure you go see Tim up there. Really, really just a cool spot to hang during, before the game, and everything going on here. But we touched on this earlier, for those of you just tuning in. We opened the show talking about last night's game, and then I spent, what, 2.5 uninterrupted minutes railing about Rafael Montero. And apparently my prayers were heard because he was DFA'd earlier. And he, in a corresponding move, Casey Sadler was reinstated from the 60-day DL. So that's the roster move. Rafael Montero officially DFA'd. Sadler had a 1.64 ERA and 10 strikeouts in 11 innings before his injury. So
everybody in the bar is cheering right now, except for the Oakland A fan.
Yeah,
he didn't like that.
The A's fan is very upset that Montero will not be here to throw batting practice to the A's today.
Exactly.
Much like he did last night and every other team they face, for that matter.
I feel bad for the kid anytime, you know, that kind of thing happens. But I'm curious why it took this long, I guess. I mean, look, obviously, Service is seeing things that we don't see. I mean, he's better at that than we are. So you just surrender that point right away. But it did seem like, I don't know, sometimes coaches will fall in love with players in a way that's like, yeah, I see his potential. You're more willing to overlook. I wrote down in my notes last night when I was watching the game, is he like Rashad Penny or LJ Collier to, you know, maybe there's a coach that just really loves them, and it just, I don't know, they fall in love with, they see him do a certain thing that's really good, and they're like, I think we could get this out of him, and you just keep going to him and going to him, and it just doesn't work out.
I that comparison for me is hard only because he could go out there and do damage to the team. LJ Collier's not damaging the team. He's not having a big impact. I don't know that I don't look at him as a liability. I just look at him as a bit of a disappointment based on expectations where he was drafted. I don't think, oh man, Collier's in the game, now we've got problems. When Montero would get the ball, I'd go, Montero's in the game, now we've got problems.
Yeah.
You know, that was the feeling, like, oh no, here it comes. I don't have that sense of dread when Penny, the handful of times he's played, and LJ Collier's in there. I didn't have that sense of dread.
Yeah,
the way that I did with Montero.
Well, it takes, you know, it's harder to notice because, you know, you got 11 guys on the field. A little bit more easy to notice with the running back. But, yeah, as far as production goes and everything, it's harder to gauge. But, yeah, I think sometimes that happens to coaches. But I'd just like to point something out. Like, would you rather be a team that when your pitching staff comes out on the field, they're throwing a football around? Or would you want to be the fan of a team that where their pitching staff comes out and they play hacky sack? They're in a circle over there playing hacky sack, and I think somebody sprained their ankle playing hacky sack.
Is that right?
I mean, I don't know. The Mariners warm up by throwing a football around. The A's are playing hacky sack.
The only thing that would make it worse for you is if one of them were on a unicycle.
Yeah. Maybe they're wearing Crocs.
They're wearing Crocs, riding a unicycle while juggling a hacky sack or something. Yeah, I'm not sure what that's all about, but you know what? I would say this. whether you love them or hate them, they're a good team. So whatever they've been doing, keep doing that.
Well, that's part of the reason I hate them, because they're a good team.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, the way they won that game last night, I mean, obviously the 13 strikeouts by Manea definitely really helped them. But just, you know, they just kind of play small ball. They just get the little blooper, you know, that goes over Dylan Moore's head, that cracks the bat. You know, you got the... He makes an error somehow. They made it into a hit for Dylan Moore.
Still don't get that.
Yeah, I mean
just, good for him. He doesn't get charged with an error, but there's no way that was a base hit.
But they weren't just hammering the ball or anything like that. Yeah. It was just kind of, it was like, you know, like I said, when I woke up this morning, Moneyball was on the TV, and he's talking to everybody about, you know, hey, just get on base and, you know, just, you know, take a few pitches, you know, be patient at the plate. I think they're well coached and well managed.
You pointed out the thing that was driving me nuts as well, when they had a runner on first and third, and they're both like,
yeah,
they do that whole, like, am I going? I'm not going. Am I going to go? I'm not going to go. Like, they're messing with flexing. And I get it. That's what you do. You're trying to distract him. You're trying to get him out of his rhythm. But watching it on TV, for some reason, it seemed exaggerated. Yeah. I'm going, oh, come on.
It's equivalent to, like, Aaron Rodgers trying to draw people off sides all the time, or snapping the ball when there's, you know, a guy subbing off the field.
He's really good at that.
Yeah, he is good at that. But, yeah, I just everything that they do aggravates me,
yeah.
Especially when they beat us.
So are they're number one for you now above Houston?
Yeah.
Above the Yankees feel like a temporary thing, because it's on the heels of what took place here last time. You don't play them often enough to really get into that hate mode with them. At least I didn't. But after the Rougned Ned Odor, DJ LeMahieu, sissy fest that they had here, you know, they're currently one of my most hated teams. I'm wishing ill upon them.
I get it. Rougned Ned Odor has always kind of bothered me. At first I thought, oh, he's a bad dude because of the Bautista punch, but I feel like he got lucky. And then all of a sudden he felt like that made him a tough guy.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, the A's to me are just that team that just, it's their rival right now. And it just seems like they always get the Mariners. So I'm looking for a really good performance by Yusei tonight. And hopefully they get back on the right side of this thing. And God, if they could take this series, that would go a long ways, man. Give them a lot of confidence, not only against the Astros, but then when they go on the road to Tampa and New York.
Well, if they take the series, that means they win the next three, right? That would put them a game and a half behind the A's at this point. They're 4.5 out now, tied with the Yankees.
Fantastic.
And we'll see what the Yankees do. But, yeah, tied with the Yankees in the wild card race. And if they were able to sweep the rest of this, the three games, you're a game and a half out. And, again, we talked about, you know, I don't think you can overstate how important and how much this homestand means, because it's going to dictate a lot of the moves that we're expecting they should make if they're in contention. Now, if they go the other way and they go on a losing streak and all of a sudden they're 7.5 out or something like that when it gets to the trade deadline, then I think the expectation is completely different in terms of what you expect from Jerry DePoto in the front office.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they're going to do here, but just handle your business. Just take care of this team. Take care of the cheating donkeys that are the Houston Astros, and then we can get up against the Yankees and see if they've toughened up since that series. Now, this is the first time we've been back out here together since you dazzled Ty France with your statement about him looking like he was 12 years old. He really appreciated that. He thought that was a great, great question.
He gave the perfect answer. Total silence. Total silence. I don't know what I was thinking with that. But no, I think well, I know what you're getting at here, but you sent something about a guy proposing, Bob, to a woman in front of a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, I think it was at a minor league park, and they did it on top of the dugout, and he got down on one knee with the ring and everything, and the whole stadium's watching. It's in between innings, and he proposes, and somebody that was in the stands right there at the railing was filming him, and the girl, you could see, is mortified, and she's like,
no,
shaking her head, no, and then she runs past the guy that's filming with the camera, and you hear her go, I got to get out of here.
Oh.
And, like, ran off the top of the dugout through the stands, and that guy standing on top of the dugout by himself looking around like, what the hell just happened?
I mean, how do you play that off if you're him?
You don't.
You just put your head down.
You don't.
You pull your T-shirt over your head.
And you just wear it and walk out, man. I mean, there's no hiding from that. There's no pretending. Oh, did they see that? I mean, the whole stadium is watching this. Everybody's prepared in that instance, by the way, to go, oh, isn't that nice? Congratulations, and clap. And then they see the big head shake and the, no, I've got to get out of here. Yeah.
You wear
it and walk out.
Yeah. Well, and I've had a few moments on the air. I remember one time my dad told me that one of his guys that he works with knew Tom Wilhelmsen. And we interviewed Tom Wilhelmsen. And I said, hey, Angel says hello and, you know, this and that. And I was, you know, convinced that he was going to go, oh, that's my boy, this and that. And he goes, yeah, I don't know who that is that you're talking about. It's like, all right, where do you go from there? but then the other day, yeah, we had Ty France. He was sitting like, what, 30 yards away over there in the bleachers. I have no idea what possessed me to ask him that. I just mentioned it like, wow, you look like you're 12 years old.
Yeah.
And he just said nothing. It was great.
You never gave me credit for being a good teammate. We could have just sat there and lived with uncomfortable silence how long it would last.
You gave me a little courtesy chuckle. I really appreciate that. And if he doesn't do that, Lefko, you need to do it.
Well, I'm still convinced in your mind it played out better than you thought. If he would have been able to see the picture of the baseball card, if he would have been able to see that. So in your mind, you're thinking, hey, look at this picture I have. And he's sitting there like, what is this guy just randomly asking me or telling me that I'm 12?
Yeah.
So in your mind, it played out differently. Thankfully for all of us, it was quite embarrassing.
The funny part was he had his arms back on the seats and he had his feet up on front of him and he was just lounging there and we could see him. I mean, because usually they're over in the dugout. We can't really see them from here. But he was right there on the third base line at the corner there and we could just see him lounging and his body, not only did he not say anything, he just kind of didn't even move. I figured he might look around like, wait, what did he just ask me?
He gave us nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly what he should have done. He played that perfectly.
It was as if you didn't ask him anything at all, Dave.
Right. Well, and it got me thinking of some of the embarrassing moments. I mentioned falling on my front porch and I was laying over the bushes. You know, my bushes were like propping me up because I was leaning out to get something off the top step of my porch. And then I slipped and fell, and I was just like hanging over, like you would throw a T-shirt over a bush, you know, and it was just kind of draped there.
That was you.
Yeah, and I was looking around going, oh, man, I hope nobody saw that. But the worst one I could remember, I don't know if you guys have any such stories. I probably have more embarrassing things than you do. I was standing up for a buddy at Stanford Church, Memorial Church. He was getting married, and I was in the wedding party. And so we were having a couple of drinks before. Then, you know, we went to the bathroom. And then we come out, and we stand there, and there's like hundreds of people there. And the guy next to me, who was my roommate, and he was a center on our team, he was my roommate for 3 years, he leans over and he goes, your zipper's down. And I just panicked like I was like, oh, so I turn around and I look down and it wasn't. He was just messing with me. But it just caused me to break into like a full sweat. So it was like 95 degrees that day.
So you were already sweating anyway.
Yeah, but we're standing up there in front of all these people and I'm thinking, I have my zipper down. And I didn't. But it still got me. But probably one of the most more embarrassing things.
I thought you were going to bring up your first line you threw on Shannon, your wife.
What, are you kidding me? That was money.
You were going for sympathy? Is that what it was?
That was money, Bob. You know it. It worked.
I know you've told it before, but maybe we have new listeners that have never heard how you broke. Was that you had spoken to her before, right?
Yeah, I'd spoken to her before, but she was at a car dealership as a seagull, dressed up as a seagull. I wasn't dressed up as a football player, but I was there signing autographs or something, and so I was trying to talk to her. And she said, I said, what do you guys do after the games? And she's like, well, we go up into the suites and say hi to people, some of the sponsors and stuff. And I was like, well, aren't you guys sweaty? And she goes, we don't sweat, we perspire.
Oh, good comeback by her.
I know. Well, I knew that was going to be my wife for 20 years.
Were you like Chris Farley in that moment going, oh, I'm so stupid.
Yeah, so stupid. I hit myself in the forehead. Yeah, that was pretty smooth.
The nervous interviewer.
Yeah,
I don't know that I've had any hugely embarrassing moments, you know, outside of, I feel embarrassed for other people, Dave. That's where mine.
You feel embarrassed for others.
I'm kidding. I was when I was playing in the cover band. We'd always play weddings. We a million weddings.
Yeah.
And they'd always have us, you know, introduce the bride and groom when they're going to do their first dance and all that. And I said the wrong name of the bride.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't even close. I can't even remember what it was. It was like her name was Lisa, and I said, "Here comes Brittany," or something like that. And
that's funny.
Literally, I felt every eye in the room turn and look at me, and I'm looking around like, what's your problem?
Yeah.
And our bass player leans over and goes, her name's Lisa.
I'm like,
excuse me, not Brady, Leah, you know, whatever her name was. I just completely botched it in front of the entire wedding party there. And then had the same reaction you had where all of a sudden it felt like they turned the heat up immediately to about 100. I'm like, wow, it's warm in here.
Exactly.
Let's go ahead and kick that next song off, can we? And
Well, I got to say, I felt your pain when you asked the professor the Kyler Murray question on baseball.
I wasn't embarrassed with that.
I could see the look on your face. It's not embarrassment so much as just like a bad feeling, like, oh, I just screwed up. And it used to be really bad when Jim was here.
Well, that's because, if it wasn't such a theme on this show.
Yeah.
That's what made it worse.
Well, Jim just would always let you hear about it for like another 2 weeks.
And so would the professor.
Yeah.
Because even when I first got on the show, all I heard about was, hey, Dave, you want to ask about Drew Brees' contract?
Drew Brees' contract.
Like, what is he talking about?
Yeah. Jim asked him, and then I asked him like 30 seconds later the same question.
Yeah.
That's always, there's plenty of embarrassing moments on radio. Definitely, that are potentially that are bad. But I was telling Lefko, whenever we get against a hard out where we have to go at a certain time, I was trying to wrap it up, and for some reason, out of my mouth, the last thing that came out of my mouth was the word welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah, so welcome, and then they cut me off. And I was like, damn. Yeah, just...
What was the other one? When you opened the show, you were driving the show one day, and you just said... Hello?
Hello? Yeah. My headphones were not on. I couldn't hear anything. And that was, they have that clip there at the station somewhere. And like I said, there's plenty of embarrassing moments. So at least none of them have happened on TV.
But, hello? Yeah. I think the king of all of them would have been if we somehow could have procured video of you falling off your treadmill.
Even embarrassing. That was awesome, actually.
Well, you had no audience, so you're not embarrassed, but...
I still don't know what happened, man.
I just want to know what it looked like.
I swear, I was like 10 feet in the air, horizontal, somehow, and ice and water went everywhere. I had a huge glass of water. It was all full. That was the problem. I was trying to take a drink. And then I fall down, and my leg is wedged against the track,
and it's just burning.
I had this huge road rash. That was a good one.
It feels like something you'd see if you go down the YouTube rabbit hole and you see people with the fails in the gym, like they're jogging and looking at somebody, and then it just shoots them across the room like a bullet, like a slingshot, and they try to jump back up like, oh, nobody saw that.
Yeah.
Nobody saw that. You know, that's what I was picturing, is you just running at a rapid speed and just being fired straight into the wall.
No, it had to do with me stepping on the belt and then somehow got airborne. But yeah, there's like a whole video that you can see of treadmill disasters.
There's a lot of fails on YouTube. It's easy to go down that rabbit hole. By the way, should mention the highlight bite this week. This is really, really the motivation for Lefko to be out here with us. Is that they'll bring us food items, and each time we've had them bring us, you know, cookies and mac and cheese and different items, and today they brought us the soft pretzel, which is normally $8, but it's just $6 this evening. It's a classic Bavarian-style pretzel served hot with or without salt and available to be upgraded with a side of cheese sauce. That's the upgrade, Dave.
We got the upgrade.
We did get the upgrade. Yeah. So Rolling Roof locations at sections 109, 118, 126.
Here's something embarrassing. My leg just cramping. Like, damn.
Dave just hopped up really quick in the middle of this whole thing.
Luckily, that part is on the stream. There is video of that.
I thought you banged your leg.
I don't know what
happened,
man. Tighten up. Karen, get over here and stretch me immediately.
Dave's got a situation brewing over here.
Yeah.
You can go to sections 109, 118, 126, 141, 192, 22, 244, 319, 329. So you've got the opportunity to score a discounted special concession item during select Mariner games thanks to the T-Mobile Park Highlight Bite. And again, tonight fans can receive $2 off a soft pretzel at all concession stand locations listed on Mariner's Vision. And don't forget, all T-Mobile Park concession stands have gone cashless to keep you safer and get you back to the game faster. For locations, just visit the ballpark app. So there you go. That was a good pretzel, though, by the way.
Yeah, it was really good. The food out here is fantastic, I'm telling you. It's a great place to go watch a ball game. I mean, they got the Trident deck up there. You can look out over the city. I mean, they have a bacon-wrapped hot dog here that I highly recommend.
Are you okay, man?
I'm still cramping. Still cramping up, yeah.
I see you out of the corner of my eye just hop up really quickly.
Yeah.
I thought the chair started to tip or something.
It's also from the treadmill.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I hope people are watching on the stream. That had to be funny. Lefko, is eating wax over the cheese the most embarrassing moment for you?
No, there's actually, I have a big one. And Dave, I don't know why you put airballing a free throw, which I don't think that's that bad.
Yeah, I remember when I was a freshman in high school, that was pretty horrible.
So I have one that tops that. I think we have time. Yeah, so freshman year at college, we're in the stands watching a Syracuse basketball game. 30,000 people, mind you, at a said basketball game. And I get picked to go shoot one of those half-court shots.
Yeah.
So in the middle of the timeout, they were like grabbing people. And I was
just
in like
randomly?
The fourth row. Yeah. So they came around and they saw this, you know, over-eager looking kid in a basketball jersey. And so they took me out there one of the timeouts during the first half. And it's shooting a half-court shot. So, of course, I thought I had range. Instead of running into it, I tried to just shoot it.
You tried to go jump shot?
I'm a basketball player. Yeah, I tried to go jump shot. So I dribbled a few times. I went jump shot, a little kind of half run into it, jump shot. Big air ball.
Oh.
And then you have to walk off the court.
Did they boo you?
No, they kind of like laughed, like, oh,
they felt bad for you.
But that's a long walk off the court and then back into a student section where everyone is just ripping on you.
Your buddies, especially.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how short was it?
Oh, it was way short. I mean, it was a big air ball. I mean, probably bounced at the bottom of the paint, you know, right outside of the restricted arc.
But a half court, it makes
no
sense.
No, but in front of 30,000 people, you don't even come close.
I would say
you don't go
air balling a free throw would be worse.
Well, good. That was okay,
yours is worse. That was probably in front of like 60 people.
Yeah.
Or 35.
Still, that's 15
people,
feet so. Versus
30,000. That's, I don't know. They're about even, I would say. I would say that number of people. Why'd you try to jump shoot it, man?
Because he thought he was really good.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought, I'm a basketball player. I'll just chuck it up. And you know what? Honestly, it is very difficult. The depth perception in the Carrier Dome is tough to see.
Oh, yeah.
So the hoop looked a lot closer because you have a huge expanse of fans behind you. The hoop looked a lot closer than it was. So I'm like, that doesn't look too far away.
You weren't even in the neighborhood?
It wasn't even in the neighborhood.
It's funny, though, my story, I wasn't making excuses for myself.
Oh, okay. There we go.
A lot of excuses. Depth perception, room behind the hoop, fans. Yeah. All problematic.
I don't know. That many people, that makes it pretty tough.
Right? Yeah. All right. Coming up, we're going to go through we've been doing our Seahawks top 20 countdown. We did five players yesterday. We unveiled our next five earlier. In case you missed it, we'll go through that next. It's Wyman and Bob live from Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Field right here on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll do mean texts. You still have time. 710-710 is the Mac and Jack's text line as we continue broadcasting live from Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park. Mariners and A's game 2 coming up. We'll turn you over to the pregame show at the top of the hour. But a lot of creative mean texts so far. I don't know if you've been tracking the text line, Dave, but there's some good stuff so far.
No, I'm
so
too
buckle
sensitive.
Up.
I can only hear it once.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, Lefko might take a beating today. But so you still have, again, about 15 minutes to send in your text, 710-710 to the Mac and Jack's text line. Now, we did this last year, and many have tried to duplicate it, but they can't. Imitation. Nice. Do your best. But we unveiled our top 20 Seahawks, and we put them all in order last year. And we did it again this year heading into the season. Obviously, injury is a big concern. That's sort of a qualifier, assuming they're healthy. These are the 20 we think are the best. So we unveiled 20 through 16 yesterday. So just for a review, for those just tuning in, who were your 20 through 16 on this year's list?
The rookie, Trey Brown, at number 20, cornerback. Probably a long shot there, but taking a little bit of a shot there. I think he can play, you know, really contribute.
I'm pulling for him to be.
He's such a great kid, seemingly, so far.
It was a fun conversation when we had him on.
Yeah, we loved when we had him on. So he's at 20. I got Poon at 19. Kerry Hyder at 18, who is a really interesting player just because when you start him, he gets sacks, he produces. So, and then 17, Alton Robinson, you know, and I know you had Maoa, and I think you had maybe you had Hyder also. But, yeah, I put Robinson in there. I think he's going to have like a breakthrough year. He was a rookie last year, had four sacks, really a good football player. So
I should have put him in there out of love for Cliff Averill.
Yeah, exactly.
Since he coached him.
Yeah, Cliff coached him up. And then I have DJ Reed at number 16. So he's going to have to have a big year. So a couple of corners and some D linemen there.
Okay, my 20 through 16 this year. At 20, I put Akello Witherspoon. Based on what they committed to him financially, I've got no idea if he's going to be good or not. I hope he's one of their top 20 because they desperately need their cornerbacks to be on this list, in my opinion. So I've got him at 20. I've got Michael Dixon at number 19. Game changer. He's a weapon, Dave. We've talked about it.
Well, he is. I mean, he's good.
Yeah.
It's amazing watching him drop those balls inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah, what he does is unique. It is really, and it does have a big impact on the game. Number 18, I've got Ugo Amadi. We'll see if he wins that cover slot position, or if it's going to be Marquise Blair, how that shakes out. But I think Ugo's a nice player in that spot, so I've got him at 18. This is a guy I expect to be higher at some point, but based on what happened last year, more importantly, what didn't happen last year, I've got Will Disley at number 17. And then number 16 for me is Puna Ford. So now we will go 15 through 11. Give us your 15 through 11 on this year's list.
All right, I have Gabe Jackson, the guard from Oakland, Las Vegas. And, I'm going to be making a trip down there for the preseason this year, going to Vegas for the first. It'll be interesting to see that stadium, what it looks like. But yeah, Gabe Jackson, he was somebody that, I think it was the GM, was like, I'm never going to trade this guy. You know, now, so
was that Mayock or Gruden?
Maybe it was Gruden.
I thought it was Gruden.
Like, yeah, I really like him, and I'm never going to trade him. And he did. So they traded him for like I think they got like a fifth rounder that they gave him. So yeah, Gabe Jackson. I'm trying to force in the offensive line because they're not the most exciting pick, but you know they're necessary. And I got a couple of them here in this grouping. But Gabe Jackson, then Gerald Everett. I think he's gonna be a big part of what they do offensively, and that's why they brought him in here because bringing in Shane Waldron and Andy Dickerson, and then you got Cody Barton at 13. Probably people having listened to me think that that's a little low.
He moved up the chart, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm telling you, the guy is going to get on the field. He's a starter in the NFL, so we'll see. But then I actually moved Blair up. I have him at 12 because he was so good last year.
Yeah.
So good in camp, and then he only saw a game and a half of action, but he looked great, and he was on his way. It was such a shame. I hate when that happens, man. I mean, especially early on, like if it happens in game 10 or 12, okay, I can handle that. Game 2, you've been waiting for this guy. He worked his tail off. He gets hurt, friendly fire, and ended up being. So, yeah, I have him at 12, and then I have Damian Lewis at 11, another offensive lineman. And, 11 through 20 there. Who you got, Bob?
Okay, at number 15, I've got Benson Maoa, who I think is very much what we expected him to be. He's just a solid contributor. He's not superstar. He's not going to give you 15 sacks, but he's a guy who I think is an awesome part of that rotation and really consistent. Had an impact last year, especially with Bruce Irvin going down. So I have him at 15. I've got Carlos Dunlap, another guy who I thought in his time here didn't play a full season, but very productive. Glad they brought him back. And just, again, we were talking about rotate. I don't think they've got that stud guy. They've just got a group of guys who can be collectively studly.
And your boy your boy Cliff thought that same thing. I mean, he basically said, you know, he thinks it's the same type of group and same type of depth that they had in 2013 when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because they didn't have the one guy.
No.
It was him and Michael Bennett, Red Bryant, Chris Clemens. It was just kind of this collective that was incredibly productive. So I think Carlos Dunlap is a huge part of that. I've got DJ Reed at number 13. He would be higher if we had seen a full season. I love what we saw while he was here, but we didn't see a full season of him. So it's just a matter of, all right, does he look like that through 16? Or I guess 17 games now. So DJ Reed at 13. I've got Gerald Everett at number 12. I think this tight ends have to be a bigger piece. They have to be a bigger part of the offense. I don't think they can be less than they were last year. They're almost non-existent. So I think they paid him and brought him over for a reason.
For a reason, yeah.
So,
well, he's not a blocker.
No.
No, I mean, he can.
He's a big wide receiver.
Yeah, he's not. You didn't bring him over to run the ball.
Right. So I've got him at 12, and then I've got Kerry Hyder at number 11, who fits right in with exactly what we were just saying about Dunlap and about Benson Mayoa, a guy who, when given the opportunity in San Francisco, put up really nice numbers, not a household name, not a superstar, not giving you 18, 15 sacks. But in this group, I think they're all crucial. I think they all chip in with 7, 8 sacks, something along those lines. This could be a very formidable pass rush.
It's weird. The 2 years before last year, so I think he missed a season, but when he was in Detroit, he started a number of games and had 8 sacks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you play him, he gets it. But in your grouping here, your 15 through 11, you got, you know, Mayoa, Dunlap, and Kerry Hyder, who are three guys that you hope, okay, if you can get like 15 to 17 sacks out of those three guys, great. I mean, you hope Hyder is getting a little bit more than that. But
boy, if they're all healthy, that would seem low, wouldn't it? 15?
Well, then, you know.
If they're all healthy?
If you get, I mean, you're going to get probably 10 from linebackers and DBs.
Yeah.
So if you can get, you know.
Another 10 from Jamal Adams.
Yeah, you're right. It's probably a little low. It's probably a little low for those guys. But I'm just thinking, like, not expecting too much. You know, if you can get, I'd say something maybe more like 20. You're probably right. You know, Kerry Hyder got 8 last year. That's doable. What did Dunlap have, 5 or 6?
With the Seahawks, and he had a couple with the Bengals. Yeah. So, and then
Mayoa's not a big numbers guy. I don't think he's ever
7.
Maybe over 7 or 8.
I think he had 8 the year before he came here, something like that. So, yeah, I just think collectively this could be a really fun group to watch. All right, M's taking on the A's tonight, and the T-Mobile Park roof will be open. Absolutely undefeated in predictions on the roof. I feel very comfortable in saying it's going to be open, Dave. That's the Mariners Roof Report, covered by Acton's Quality Roofing. All right, coming up, Mean Text. You still have a couple of minutes. 710-710, the Mac and Jack's text line. We'll unveil your latest offerings next as we continue live from Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
It is the tradition of this show. Every Friday, we unveil all the mean things you guys text into us throughout the week, of which there are many. Some in fun, some just trying to hurt feelings.
Well, there's some people, like, up against the rail just so they can hear the mean text. They're
hear
so
the mean things the that mean people text into us, yeah.
Are you sure they just don't want our spot?
Well, there's that, too.
I think they want our spot.
Karen could take my spot.
Yeah.
Karen, our Mariners gal. Nancy's not here with her today, but Karen has been coming out here, I think, from the very beginning. Huge Mariner fan.
You got somebody in an old-school Danny David Moore shirt.
Danny David Moore shirt.
He's the lone survivor here.
Yeah. Karen and I were swapping pictures of our flowers in our yard. Gardening. We're talking gardening.
Couple of green thumbs out here. But, we do this every Friday. We find the most creative, mean things you guys say to us and put them on display for everybody to consume. So what do we have this week, Lefko?
Well, Dave got his wish. And I think this one came right from Dave, 253. Bleep you, Lefko.
Succinct, short and sweet.
To the point.
Yeah.
That was right from you, right?
Perfectly said. I'm 425.
Okay. All right. Well,
you know what? Now you got me thinking. I might start texting in.
since there were
own creative text.
Yeah, there were plenty really about thinking. Me after you asked. So yeah, from
it'll,
Dave,
it'll be something like, well, Dave is. I've got no problems with Dave, but Bob and Lefko. Let me tell you about these two dimwits.
No, just Lefko.
Actually, so was this from you, Bob? 360. Bob, or 253 on this one. There were two on this route. 253. Bob, so glad you're back. Wingus and Dingus, I don't know which one is Wingus and which is Dingus. Wingus and Dingus there did an absolute disservice to Mean Text last week.
Oh, boy.
Which I don't know. I don't know what we did wrong. We did them early because we were done early.
Yeah.
I thought we did them well, right?
Are they talking about you and Graz?
No.
Or you and Lefko?
I think us two.
Us two when we were doing the show together.
You did a disservice?
Oh, well, it could be you and Graz. I feel like I'm more of a Wingus or Dingus type. So,
isn't that from like the little claymation? Aren't they elves? Wingus and Dingus?
I think.
Not
that I'm familiar with.
Remember those little claymation, like Frosty the Snowman with Yukon Cornelius? It was like that kind of, like it was an...
That's with the Heat Miser and Mr. Freeze, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that?
Right.
I don't want to discount all the new good ones coming in here. 805. Bob Stelton is like if Joe Rogan's t-shirt moved to Seattle to start its own career.
I wish I had that career.
Yeah, that fits, right?
Like Joe Rogan. T-shirt.
Yeah.
What's Joe Rogan, the karate guy? Or?
Look, I love how much Dave loves saying karate. He gets such a kick out of it.
I really crack you up. I get a kick out of myself.
You crack you up with that. What else do we got, man?
Oh, we have plenty. Okay, I'll keep going. There were a lot on me, of course. 253. Between his voice and his hand creepily sliding in and out of the video, Lefko seems like the kind of guy who drives a panel van with free candy spray painted on the side.
The windowless van.
Jeez,
Mike. Wow. It's getting dark.
Hide the kids.
Yeah, speaking of dark, how about this? 916. Dave, you still have a little time to tell the Norman Bates story again. And again, and again.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I've probably told that story four times in the last 5 years. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. You've been glued to the radio.
They've heard it each and every time. Yeah. That's awesome.
A couple were able to tie in Montero to Mean Tech. So one of them, 509, Rafael Montero pitching was easier to watch than listening to Bob.
Oh, that's... They're coming after you, Bob.
That's all right.
You had your 2.5-minute rant, uninterrupted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cathartic.
You didn't see it, but when he started, because I knew what was coming. When I came to the ballpark, I'm like, I'll just push play on Bob and let it go.
You knew it from the emails last night with all the exclamation points. Yeah. I was standing on my keyboard hitting the exclamation points.
I think there was also a smiley face that pukes that you'd like to send.
Yeah,
that's been associated with Montero text. But anyway, behind you, and you're like going on and on. You're always looking at me, and I'm always like, Bob, I didn't do it, man. I'm not Rafael Montero. And I'm looking behind you, and then there's Lefko over there.
Why are you pitching so poorly?
He's holding up the timer.
Then they twisted around to Dave. 406, which is Montana. We learned that, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. I want to see Montero pitch again for the Mariners about as much as I want to see Wyman mowing the lawn in his jorts.
Hey, you got through jorts without laughing.
I did. Yeah. I did. Yeah, that was good.
Look at it. Now he's letting it go.
The jean shorts.
Yeah.
I might have to get a picture of that. I have some
jorts.
Some
you
jeans.
Mowing the lawn?
I have jeans right now that got holes in the knee.
Yeah.
And maybe I should just cut them off and mow my lawn, and we can put it on the Twitter page. What do you think?
New
short?
Twitter photo.
How short, though? I mean, we don't want to go too short on those, do we?
Hot pants, Dave.
People really like 306. Bob and Dave's tool time talk was hilarious. It was like a how-to for dummies. Buy a pair of dummies.
We were talking about the home repair at the beginning of the week. Bob got had a drywall problem. I had a toilet problem.
I'm still working on the drywall problem. It's still a work in progress.
You know, funny, Jen thought that it was real. I think Jen from Beaverton thought it was really funny, the squeaking toilet. And I thought about taking a video of it and sending it to our page, because the end, when it fills,
it gets
to the top and it just goes,
you should, because you know there's got to be somebody who's a plumber who listens to the show that's going to go, that's because
that's what I'll do.
They'll diagnose it from our Twitter page.
We'll put it on our Twitter page and see if we can get
We'll get it diagnosed.
Apparently, Wingus and Dingus are from Futurama. No, it's a show.
What is Futurama?
Yeah,
it's an animated show.
Yeah, animated show. Okay, so we got some information there, too. Okay. It's funny you mentioned me laughing at the jorts ones, because someone did not like that. 253, Lefkoat, a.k.a. Lil Dumper, isn't very good at picking the mean texts, and the ones he enjoys, he can't even read them straight through without laughing.
Lil Dumper.
Those are the great ones, though. When Lefkoat loses control.
Well, and then he finally spits them out, and you and I are looking at each other going, I don't know why you were laughing so hard at that one. He just finds a lot of joy in those.
I think the next thing I need to see from Lefko is anger. I've never seen that.
I don't know if it's in there.
I'll tell you what, it might be ugly when it comes out.
I like this one. The Mariners keep running out Montero just like 710 keeps running out you two.
Oh, are you saying we're the Rafael Montero of radio?
That's right.
Oh. Wow. The 425, what we've learned. Mora was the brains of the operation.
Ah. Well, there's not much we can dispute about that, I got to tell you.
That just cuts all three of us.
Yeah, I know. They just slice right over the top.
Yeah.
We are about running out of time, so actual news note. I know that's not allowed here. The Kraken made a pick. They picked Matty Beniers, as John Morosi loved to say.
Oh, nice.
So I think it's just fun to say
guy from
Matty.
Michigan.
But yeah, that's their draft pick. And so that was some news and mean text.
All right. And by the way, we don't have a get in the cage this week, which I know will disappoint you, Dave, because our guest that we were scheduled.
Are you kidding me? I love karate.
Our guest flaked out on us at the last minute, so it's not happening. But it is brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino, and they've got Cage Sports 61 coming up tomorrow night at the Emerald Queen Casino. I will be sitting cage side with a buddy out there. So
that buddy could have been me.
Could have been you, Dave.
Doing something.
Yeah,
right.
you'll come to the next one with me. It's going to be in their brand new showroom. Looking forward to seeing that. So check out Cage Sports 61 tomorrow night at Emerald Queen Casino. I want to thank our guests, Anthony Misevich, Cal Raleigh, and John Clayton, for joining us on the program. If you guys missed anything from today's show, or any day for that matter, all you need to do is head to the podcast page, 710sports.com, click the podcast tab, and scroll down to our beautiful picture right there. Click on that. Everything you missed each and every day is waiting for you there. Have a great weekend, everybody. You got the Mariners and A's Game 2 coming up next. We'll talk to you on Monday with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.